I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem, who loved to preach the beautiful name of Jesus. It's an encouragement to hear from you, our viewers. An inmate from Nebraska recently wrote to us, and the note reads, "Your father, Pastor Salem, always recharges my spiritual battery, and his Bible-based teaching and preachings speak straight to my soul. He renews my strength and gives me the passion to spread the good news and gospel here in prison." My dad was thrilled when he heard from inmates around the country and tried to encourage them to stay close to Christ and work toward being like the Apostle Paul and witness to those around you. Today's message, Our Oneness in Christ, speaks to receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, taking God at His word, and trusting Him. We hope you will be uplifted by today's program. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are. We're going to gather together all around the world and gather at the throne of grace and worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and that wonderful Father in heaven. What a joy it is to all get together. And our sermon topic this morning is called Our Oneness in Christ. And that was in response to Jesus' prayer that we, the Christians, would be one in the Lord. And so we'll be looking at that later. We're looking at Psalm chapter 30 today. "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought my up soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, and I shall not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness." And, O Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've taken us out of the pit of sin and despair, and you set our feet on the solid rock, the rock Christ Jesus. And we're on our way to heaven, and we're rejoicing as we go, and we're trying to win as many as we can to come to follow you and love you. And we're also to comfort the saints of God and encourage everybody everywhere. The battle is ours because we belong to Jesus. So thank you for this time of worship. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Hank is singing today, "Holy, Holy, Holy," and God bless you, Hank.
God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea.
Thank you, Hank, and what a wonderful way to start our service, worshiping the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three individuals and yet one God. And so we just thankful we found Jesus Christ and that he is the way to God. And someday we're going to see that Holy Trinity face to face, and won't that be a wonderful day? God bless you, everyone. We have such a great future if we're a believer. But if you haven't accepted Jesus, you need to do that. Just stay tuned, and we're going to tell you just exactly how to do it in just a little bit. But first, I want to read some of the letters. And we just thank you for the letters. We read every one, and we answer. If it's a spiritual problem, we answer that and try to help everybody we can. But the first letter we're reading today is from Tracy, Minnesota. And this lady writes, I'm sending this in memory of my parents. Mom was in a wheelchair and Dad was her caregiver. The last year of his life was difficult and they were unable to attend regular church services. They turned to you for spiritual leadership. Many Sundays as I spent the weekend with them, we would go to church, sitting together watching the Christian worship hour. I've since turned it on whenever I can on as a sweet memory of my parents who now live with Jesus in heaven. Thank you for all you do for all of us here. Bless you all. And all this is, it's just wonderful when we can worship and help people to worship. Now, if you're able to go to church, you ought to go to church. But there are multitudes that cannot. They're limited and they cannot for different reasons. And so we'll be your church. We'll be glad to have you worship with us. And we worship the triune God and the wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Just thank you that we can, worship the Lord together. Here's the villages in Florida. I have taped your services for years now, and you helped so much. I have learned a lot about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit since I've been listening to your service. Your messages has brought me some measure of peace about some things in my life, and I'm very grateful. And so you know how we can do that? Well, we preach the Bible, and the Holy Spirit takes the Bible and he applies it to hearts and souls all over the world. And we don't even know what your problem is. We don't know what your question might be. We don't know what you're looking for, and we don't know where you're at. But the Holy Spirit knows every one of you personally. He comes and he takes the Word of God and applies it to your heart. And that's why we love to preach the Word and sing the Word of God, because therein is the power. God uses it every time. Here's a letter from Sheridan, Wyoming. Our mother was very ill towards the end and really enjoyed watching your program when she was no longer able to attend Sunday church services. Our dad also greatly enjoyed your program, and often they would watch it in bed right by her side. And there they were, worshiping the Lord together, and now they're in heaven, worshiping the Lord. Same Lord, same God. Oh, my goodness, isn't that wonderful? And that's a part of our company. We're going to talk about the oneness in Christ. All over the world, we are one in Christ, one body. Called the church, the bride of Christ. the body of Christ. Oh, it's glorious. Here is one from Federal Way, Washington. And it says, your message on the subject of aging was inspiring to me as I'm 95 years old this month. I know my age is a gift from God. May He continue to bless your work. That's the way to look at it. If you're in old age, in America, you don't get much respect. This old age, they just get out of the way and let the world go on and don't clutter up the place. Here's your watch, your gold watch, go sit in the chair and die. We don't need to do that at all. As long as we've got breath, 95 years, and we've got a letter from 100 years old, and they're still worshiping Jesus and witnessing for the Lord and praying and carrying on, and they're a very vital part of His work because that's why He left them here. So don't you ever hold your head because of old age. Just be proud of it. The young people don't have old age. See, we got something over on them. I don't know how we do it, but we do it. Here's Watertown, South Dakota. The sermon you had on Satan made me handle a lot of things I thought of since my husband passed away 16 years ago. I dwell on a lot of things for too long. When you said, tell Satan to get out and say God is here, you made my life much better. I have had two bouts with cancer, one in 97 and one 2005. Both times I had a talk with God to help me through, and this He did. I could not have made it on my own. And so here's a lady that written in, and we've answered her letter. And she says, you know, I think the devil is in my soul. I think he's in my body. And I wrote and told her, he is not there. He cannot, because if you have the Holy Spirit, the devil can't get into your body. He can tempt you, and he can influence you if you let him, but he cannot enter your body. He cannot be in you. I know that. We know that because of 1 John 4, verse 4, where God tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All right, greater is he that is in you. Who's in you? The Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and our body becomes his temple and he dwells in our heart. And when the devil comes around, the Holy Spirit won't let him in. He can't do it. He never can enter your life. He can tempt you to do wrong, and boy, he will if he can, but he can never get into your soul. Praise God. Here's Salem, Oregon. Mom passed on to be with God this past January 17th. She was 100 years and 4 months. She loved the Lord, and if we couldn't attend her regular church, we always watched your service. You provide a great service to many people. We particularly liked your focus on the Bible and the Bible teaching. I'm sending this gift for Mom to help continue your services. She would be pleased to help you with this important ministry. And so we're just so glad that we're just using the Word of God. And I tell you another thing we have what we call the New Song. And that's a Bible study we put out every week. And it's a little Bible study on the Bible. And then it's also paper. And it has excerpts from a lot of the letters that we get, and wonderful letters. And then it has a list of the sermons. So you can have the sermon, you can have the text. And we hear from people who they read the text the night before, and then they're ready when we preach. And then they see if I'm sticking with the Word. If I'm not, boy, you can give me Hail Columbia, whatever you want to do. But we'll stick as close as we can. So if you want to get the new song, you get your pencil and paper. I'm going to give it to you in just a few minutes. I got a couple more letters, and I'll give that, and then you can write to us, and we'll send it free and postpaid, and you'll really like it. Here's Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. I listen to your programs, and I'm so blessed. I live in a care home and enjoy Christian TV programs. Please send me any CDs or tapes you offer. Yours in Christ. Well, we do have CDs and we have DVDs, and we send them out on a free will offering basis. So we sent some to this dear lady, so that if you can help us with that, all right. If you don't have any money, somebody else will make it up, and we'll send it free. And we send a lot of free tapes and CDs and DVDs into prisons. and many retirement homes where people don't have much money. And so, but God always provides. And just get that pencil and paper. Now I'm going to read one more letter. Then I'm going to tell you where you can get this. I know you just can't wait. But just hang on a little bit. Here is a San Mateo, California. You reach my heart every Sunday with your humble, down-to-earth preaching. You really made a difference in my life. I have become a softer person in attitude. Thank you for bringing Jesus closer to me in my heart. Blessings. Well, there it is again. That's the Word of God. We sure can do it. You know, we know we're not psychiatrists and psychologists and we can figure all things out. We can't do that. But we can just preach the Word in word and in song. Preach the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit takes it and He applies it to your heart and He blesses you. That's where the power is. And I always tell these young pastors, preach the Bible, preach the Word, because then you can preach with authority. You don't have to say it could be, might be, hope so, all the rest of it. You say, thus saith the Lord, period. And that ends it. Now you can help us. You can write to us, and maybe if you have want some of this material, you want to get the new song. We have a couple new booklets out that we put out. One is on salvation. Can a Christian lose their salvation? The answer is absolutely not. Impossible. And then one, can a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven? Yes, he can. If he trusts Jesus, he's going to heaven. Now, that's a little booklet, about 15 pages. And so if you'd like to get one of them, you just write salvation or write suicide. And if you can send a gift to help us, why, then we'll appreciate it. If not, we'll do it anyway. But if you believe this is a ministry and you just ask the Lord now, what should I do? Should I help the Christian Worship Hour? Is this something from God? Is this something God is using, something God wants? And then you just pray about it. And then you can write to us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is real easy for all of you on shortwave radio all over the world. You can get it easy. Just box 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. And it's 57402. That's Aberdeen, South Dakota. And it's 57402. And if you want to send a gift on the internet, you can do that. You get christianworshiphour.com. And then you punch around there and it'll say PayPal. And then you just say, well, I'll send them so much money. Maybe you're in France. You have to, well, you can't send that currency, but you just send it PayPal and we'll get it in American currency, pay our bills. How can you beat that? So we're just praying that you'll support us and help us as best you can. And if you wonder if we're handling the money correctly, you can remember this. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and not only audit our books on what we take in, but how we spend the money. So it all goes for exactly what we say it goes for, spreading the gospel throughout the whole world. So now I'm going to pray, and then you pay whatever God lays on your heart, and Jan's going to play the piano. So Heavenly Father, just thank you for all who help us in this work. Thank you for providing our needs through your people. And we just pray you'll bless everyone for their efforts and their gifts. We pray that through it all, Jesus will be honored and known. In the Savior's name we pray, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from John chapter 17 today, Gospel of John chapter 17, and verses 9 through 13, and this is a part of the prayer that Jesus prayed. And in this part of the prayer, he's praying for his people, all the people who trust Jesus. He's remembering them in prayer. And then during our prayer itself, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in India. Every week we pray for one of the countries around the world where they're suffering for Jesus and many of them dying for Jesus. And I know there's persecution in India, so we're going to pray for that country today. So Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. And so we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful joy we have in knowing that our sins are washed away and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are so thankful that we know that we will someday see you and we'll be able to see you face to face, and what a glorious day that will be. We are also praying, Lord, that there will be many right now in this very service that will pray to you for salvation. If they've never accepted you into their life, they'll never get to heaven unless they have you in their heart. And may many turn to you, Lord, and ask you to come into their heart and life, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, and be born again and be your child. And for those of us who know you, Lord, you're praying for us here, and so we pray that we'll be good servants of yours. We pray for our brothers and sisters in India, Lord, and I know that there's persecution there, and there's some giving their lives. Oh, so we just pray that you bless those that are left behind. Those that are taken are in glory, and they're in your presence, and they are rejoicing around the throne of God. But they're left of the others on earth are here to suffer and struggle and make it hard. And so we know that you'll always be with them and said you'd never leave them or forsake them. Help them, Lord, wherever they are in India, to know we are praying for them and we love them, and most of all, you love them. So now, dear Jesus, we pray that you'll bless us in this service. Have your way in every heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Barb has a song. Guess what she's going to sing? I'll pray for you. So God bless you.
I saw an old friend at the market, standing in the checkout line. She began to share her story, then I told her mine. It was clear we both knew heartache, so before I turned to go, we made a simple promise that would lighten both our loads. I'll pray for you. You pray for me, and together we'll touch heaven from our knees. Anything can happen in His name when we agree. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. What a privilege and an honor to know that God is there and to have His full attention anytime and anywhere. Sometimes when we're talking, conversation turns to you. As your name and needs are mentioned, God lifts my spirit too. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. And together we'll touch heaven from our knees. Anything can happen in His name when we agree. I'll pray for you. You pray.
Well, thank you, Barb. And that's what we're thinking about, praying for each other. And in this passage that we just read, Jesus is praying for us. He's praying for you. If you're a child of God, He's praying for you. And this prayer is for all of us who have received Jesus as our Savior. And He says, and He writes and says, for instance, this is the longest prayer we have in the Bible recorded by Jesus. And it's a very intimate prayer because He's talking with the Heavenly Father, and He lets us listen in as He prays to the Father in heaven. And here He's praying for those who are in Him. We call it the verses 9 to 13. He's calling for the unity of His followers, that all of His followers all over the world who have accepted Jesus Christ, who are His children, He's praying for them that they'll all be banded together and united in serving Him together. We call it the oneness we have in Christ. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Now, He's talking about those who are in Him and those who would be in Him in the time to come. He carefully points out that not everyone is in Him. But he says, I pray not for the world. So there's a whole world that's not in Christ. And He goes on to explain about that. And he says that they are not my own, and then the world, and they're not a part of my body. They're not a part of my church, my wonderful kingdom. And so He's going to pray them. And He points that out very clearly and plainly. Jesus tells us in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, listen, this is what Jesus is telling us. He says, as many as received Him become the children of light, of God. We are not the child of God until through the natural birth. It has to be that new birth. That's why He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And when we come to the age of accountability, because we believe that all the little babies and all the little children belong to Him, because Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So God, they belong to God. But when we come to that age where we can choose between Jesus Christ or the devil or the world, we have to make a choice. Then if we refuse to receive the Lord Jesus, then we are surely going to be cast to a Christless eternity. Jesus told unsaved men, He said, ye are the father of the devil. You are of your father, the devil. The people that hadn't received Jesus. And so we are in Christ or we're in Satan. We're in the devil. God is our father or the devil is our father, but not both. And in order to have God as our father, we have to be born into the family of God. That's the new birth. And we're going to talk about that. And so in order to become a child of God, it says, as many as received Him. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in his name. You have to take God at his word. You have to trust him. And don't try to make a great mystery out of faith, because all faith is just saying, faith is saying amen to what God says. That's all it is. It's agreeing with God. And he says, if you will want to receive me, if you want to have everlasting life, you have to receive me. And you have to receive him into our heart. We simply do that by asking Jesus Christ. He says, if you come, as many received him, you'll give power to become the children of God. If you receive him into your heart, you become a child of God. You're born again. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And so if you don't receive Jesus Christ, then you remain with the devil, see? So this is what we're here told. As many as received him, to them gave the power, the authority, become the children of God. Now you can't, for instance, you can't become an American if you already are an American, can you? And so you can't, but you can't become a child of God unless you come to Jesus, because you're not a child of God until you come to Jesus. Some people teach that everybody's a child of God. We are all the creation of God, like the animals in the forest and the fields. We're all the creation of God, but only those that receive Jesus Christ are born again and become his child. Now listen to what Jesus tells us. He tells us there are at least three things you cannot do to become a child of God. Cannot do. Jesus says here, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Three things. He says we were born not of blood. That means you can't become a child of God because your parents are people of God. Your parents are Christians, but that blood doesn't flow in the blood like royal blood to the kings and the queens and so on. You can't be born in it. You can't communicate the nature of God from your parents. It's not of blood. And you may have had, maybe your parents were the best people in the world, most wonderful Christians in the world, and they would do anything they would to have you come to Jesus, but you can't come to Jesus until you personally come yourself. And this has to be the new birth, not of blood. Or he says, not of the will of the flesh. That is, the will of the flesh, that is, you can't make yourself a Christian by your own will. In Romans 9:16, we are told, it is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. That it is only God by his Spirit can make us a child of God. We can't make a child of God, ourselves a child of God, by anything we're doing, wishing or anything else. It is only the Holy Spirit. And that happens when we ask Jesus to come into our heart. And by the Spirit, he comes into our heart and he makes us a new creation and he gives us a new nature. And we have old Adam's old nature, but we have a new nature also. And the two are at strife with each other. And that's why we put the emphasis on the spiritual, the things of God. For instance, here's a young man and he'd like to be in the service, armed forces. And so he goes to a supply store and he gets a uniform for the Navy. And he's walking around, running about, and they say, oh, you're in the Navy. Yeah, I'm in the Navy. Well, how do you do that? I got a suit. I'm wearing it. I'm in the Navy. No, you have to enlist. You have to enlist. You have to be received. You have to be accepted into the Navy. And so there, you can't make yourself a Christian just by wearing a new uniform or something like that. There are some people that say, oh, I think I'll just be a good Christian and I'll be good and I'll be better than... You can always find somebody that's bad, and so you measure by them. I can live a good life, and by my works and by how I'm acting, I'll act like a Christian and I'll pretend and I'll be a Christian. You can't do it by yourself, because God says not. God tells us in Ephesians, he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, not, and he says then, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in Isaiah says, all of our works are like filthy rags, dirty, filthy, bloody old rags. And they're of no value to God. That's our works. And yet you go out on the street and talk to people and 9 out of 10 will say, are you going to heaven? Yeah, I hope so. I think so. What makes you think you're going to get to heaven? Well, I've done this. I went to the church and I give them a dollar, and I wish they wouldn't give them that much, but I give them a dollar. Now, I'm sure they can run the church all year on a dollar. And then I don't beat up on the neighbor's dog. He'd probably bite you if you did. So you talk about all the things you did. And God says, not by works of righteousness. And there's only one way to become a child of God. That's accepting Jesus. And then God isn't done. He says, nor the will of man. He says, you see, not by blood, not by flesh, not by the will of man. What does he mean? He simply means that some pastor or priest can't make you a Christian. But we have them doing it all the time because they'll say, well, by baptism, I'll baptize you and I'll make you a Christian. God says, it's not by the will of man. No man can make you a Christian. And you can, your baptism and your confirmation, and your sacraments and your circumcision and whatever you got, all of these works, they're never going to make it. The will of man can't be done. You must be born again, which were born not of blood, nor the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God alone can make you a Christian, so you're one with Christ. So Jesus points it out, and you can become a child of God. And I'm going to ask you right now, if you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if there's been a time in your life when you had that meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you prayed and said, dear Jesus, I am a poor lost sinner, and I ask you to just please come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll forsake sin as the best I can. I'll make you the Lord of my life. And then you thank him and you tell somebody. Now, sometimes we get letters and people say, well, I made that prayer, but I didn't feel anything. And I know I have a friend, and she said she, when she accepted Jesus, she was so happy, and I didn't feel anything. And so what do I do? How am I failing? Now listen, your salvation doesn't depend one bit on your feelings. You may be filled with joy and you may not. When I accepted Jesus 10 years old, I didn't feel anything. And you don't need to feel anything because it is a contract. It is an agreement that you're making with God. God says, if you ask my son into your life, I'll make you my child. And so we say, dear Jesus, I believe that. I'm making a contract. I'm accepting you, and I'm asking you by faith into my heart. And Jesus says, I'll come into your heart. I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens that door, I will come in. I remember a junior boy. His name was Keith. He's with the Lord now. 70 years ago, probably maybe 65, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It was at a camp, and I gave him that verse, and I said, Keith, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And he says, no, and he said then, and nobody's ever said this to me but Keith. He said, what if I ask him in and he won't come in? You know that? Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. He wants to come in. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he died and suffered and died on a cross, so you could come to him. So you could open your heart to him and he could cleanse you and live in your heart. That's what he wants to do. And so you make that prayer. And if you feel something, that's fine. I had a lady tell me not long ago, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I was so happy, I didn't know what to do. Well, God bless her. That's wonderful. Some people are like that. But if you don't feel anything, you just take it as a contract with God Almighty. He gave his word, and you accepted his word, and that settles it. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You have it the minute you accept Jesus. You don't wait to find out. You don't go through a lot of rigmarole. You say, well, I should clean up my life. Well, sure, you should clean up your life, but that doesn't save you. You get yourself, Christ will save you. Then you clean up on your life, and you clean on your up on your life as long as you live. And I've been a Christian 85 years, and I still got stuff I got to clean up in my life. And I got a feeling that I'm not going to get it done until I meet the Lord face to face. They ask one man, one old pastor says, when do you think that you'll get past them so you won't be tempted anymore? He says, I think probably my last temptation will be about 3 days before my funeral. As long as I'm in this body, you're going to be tempted. So don't get the idea you got to be perfect, but you got to have Jesus. And then you make him the Lord of your life and you live for him the best you can. So then Jesus, that's what we're talking about. Are you in Christ? Jesus, I'm praying for those in Christ. I'm praying for my church. I'm praying for those who are born again. That's what he's praying about in this. Now, there's another place he prays for the world because he's not willing that any should perish. And he died to save the world. And anybody in the world can come. So he prays for the world. But in this passage here that we're looking at today, he just prays for Christians, his children, see? So now he prays for them. And he prays three things. He prays, first of all, that they might be kept, his own might be kept from the world, and that they might be sanctified, and that his own might be united. So first of all, he's praying that they be kept from the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. Jesus did not pray that his people would be taken out of the world because we are here in this world to help people come to know Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to go and live in some monastery and never touch the world or never mingle with the people in the world. He wants us to be out there, salt among the people and light in the world. We're salt and light, and we are to be in the world. He says, I'm not praying they'll be kept taken out of the world. He says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you're my child, that's part of your business too. And you've got to be in there seeking those and bringing them to Christ and helping them come to know the Lord. I don't want you to come out of the world. I want you to stay in the world and serve the world. And then secondly, he prayed, I pray that they will be sanctified. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Now, you hear sanctify and you get scared right away, don't you? Well, I remember as a child, they said sanctify. And so, boy, I tried to look just sober and nice as I could in Sunday school. And, you know, it didn't last long. But sanctify just means to set apart. Set apart. I can take this bouquet of flowers and sanctify them, set them apart. That's what he means. And so he wants his people to live among the Christians, among the world. He wants us to be in the world, but he wants us to be set apart in our Christian life so that we don't go the way of the world. And we have to go against the tide many times. We have to stand against the things of the world, but we sanctify them. And so they say, well, how do we do that? And he tells us, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Get into the Bible. Stay close to God. Be in church if you can go to church. If not, get your worship service on television and radio. There are a lot of good programs, a lot of good preaching being done. And so, and have a little Bible study of your own and talk to friends about Jesus. Instead of talking about all the politics and everything else, talk about Jesus, wonderful Jesus. And so then, yeah, that's the way we can be sanctified. And then third, he prayed, I pray for their unity. He says that they all may be one. Now, who did he include in this prayer? The 11 apostles, the 70 disciples, men and women following him. He prayed for everybody that accepts him. He's praying that they will be one. He's praying that we'll all work together, that we'll have the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ, and that we'll be one body in Christ. It doesn't mean we all go to the same church. He is not asking for that. He's just asking us that we'll be in the same program. We'll have that same Bible, that same Holy Spirit leading us. We have one head of all the people of Christ, one head for the church, and that's Jesus Christ. And that head will tell us what to do. And we get that through the Bible and through going to church and worshiping and working with the Christian people. And so why did Jesus pray for his own? Because he prayed that they would be incorporated not incorporated into one body. He's not talking about we should all be in one church. That isn't necessary. That shouldn't be, because we have people on the different parts of the world. It's impossible for us to get together. And so many times we have people that don't succeed. It's exactly right. It's exactly some things, like some people think you can be saved and lost, and some things you can't be lost. And so well, that's fine. Well, think what you want to think, just so you're on the basics. You have Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and who is God. He's not just the Son of God. He is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. And to that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he says, we need to be incorporated into this body. And he says that we might be indwelt by one Spirit. And so that everyone in the church, everyone in the body of Christ has the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And because he can do that, because he's God. Because God can be everywhere. He's not limited to any one space. He can be anywhere in any place. And wherever the Word of God is taught, and wherever the Word of God is worshiped, that's where the Holy Spirit will be to guide and direct us. One Spirit. He says that we should be one in the bond of love and charity, all of one heart. And so all of us, we should be worshiping the Lord together and serving the Lord together. I used to teach in the Billy Graham Schools of Evangelism. Sometimes we'd have 1,000 people there, pastors and wives. So we'd have at least 50 different denominations, 50. And yet there was perfect harmony, because we didn't get off in the weeds on some little things. And you can have all of your little ideas you want, but on that basic, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And as Jesus said, you must be born again. And we receive Jesus, and we are part of the body of Christ, and wherever it is. And so we're united. Wonderful Spirit of God working in our hearts and our lives. And he sees we should be knit together in judgment and in sentiment. That is, don't be so judgmental of other people. Let them, we don't all have to eat spaghetti or like spaghetti. You may like something else. Maybe you like chocolate ice cream instead of vanilla ice cream. What does it matter? And so when this wonderful Spirit of God draws us together, and there may be some ideas, and there may be some thoughts, and there may be some feelings. Maybe you have some people can't eat, like with Paul. He says there were some that they said, you can't eat meat that's been offered to idols. And the meat offered to idols, they had a butcher there, butcher shop, and you could buy it half price. You get the best cuts of meat, half price. And some of the Christians were eating that stuff. And then some of the other Christians said, oh, it's wrong because it's been offered to idols. And Paul says, well, then just think about your brothers. And he says, an idol was nothing more than a fence post. Doesn't matter if it's offered to a fence post or a rock or something. Doesn't make a bit of difference. You're free to eat it. But he says, if it causes your brother to stumble, if your weaker brother doesn't see it that way and he just can't understand it, then Paul says, if that's the case, I won't eat any meat as long as the world stands, because I love my brother and it's not an offense to him. And so, but that's what Jesus is praying for. He says to think about each other and to care for each other. I know some people that they think that, you know, they'll say, well, for instance, that all of creation was done in 6 24-hour days. And then others will say there are periods of time. Well, if you don't believe one or the other, then they're all done with you. You're in a cult. Well, I don't know how God did it. And it really doesn't matter. I know Jesus is my Savior, and I love him, and I serve him. And you need to do the same thing. You need to give your heart to Christ. And then the last thing I put down, we are knit together by love and affection. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And that love needs to go out, and I don't care what denomination, I don't care what it is, I don't care what church you're in or what body you're in. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe in the Holy Trinity and that the Bible is the Word of God, some of those basics, that's just fine. And so out of love, we share that love with others. There's no barriers or boundaries all over the world where we travel. Wherever we go, it doesn't the barriers or boundaries of maybe of color or sex or denomination or background or the rich or the poor, the young or the old. It doesn't make a bit of difference. When you come to Jesus Christ, you can have that same one body, and we have that love for one another, and we overlook the faults of different ones and care for them. And the common denominator of it all is Jesus Christ. That's the heart of the crux of the matter. Jesus said that he was preparing a place for us, and he says that he'd come again. And when he says, and then he tells, and John says, and Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? I want to go to heaven, Thomas is saying, but I don't know how to get there. And Jesus says, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now listen, Jesus got really narrow. You worry about people being narrow. Jesus got really narrow. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven but by me, Jesus. I want to tell you, friends, I love the church. For 66 years, I pastored two different churches. I love the church, and I still love the church, and I go to church every Sunday, and I tithe through my church, 10% to the church. But the church can't save you. Jesus saves us. And that's what we do on the Christian Worship Hour. We're no denomination. We're not getting tied up into denominations or any special words that we say. We're just saying the common denominator of it all is Jesus the Christ. And if you have Jesus, you're going to heaven. And I don't care where you live, or what, I don't care about your background. I don't care a thing about it. If you have Jesus Christ, you're on the way to heaven. If you don't have Jesus, you're on the way to hell. And that's why we have the Christian Worship Hour, and that's why we preach our heads off, and we don't do a very good job. I know we're making a lot of mistakes. Like a lady came to Dwight L. Moody one time and said, Mr. Moody, you made 8 grammatical errors in your sermon. Well, I'll bet you I'll make 15 grammatical errors in my sermon, but I can't help that. I'm just telling you, you have to have Jesus. And I'll tell you how you get him. You just come to Jesus and say, Dear Lord, you're standing at my heart's door, and I know right now there's some of you, and you've got something kind of just saying. You're not hearing any voices, not having any feelings, but you just got that kind of a thought there that Jesus wants to come into my life. He's at my heart's door right now, and I'm going to ask him in. Now, the devil will say, don't ask him in. Wait up. He won't say not to accept Jesus. He'll say, wait for another time. Wait till your anniversary. Wait till Christmas. Wait till sometime. Just wait, wait, see. But Jesus is saying, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And you pray, Dear Jesus, I do love you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. And I thank you, Jesus. And then you tell somebody. And if you made that prayer, you write to us. And we'll send you some literature to help you to get started in the Christian life. We do it every week. We get letters. We answer everyone to help them get started in the Christian life. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can get us that way. We'll send you literature. And in the meantime, you need to help us if you want us to carry on. You need to send us a gift. And we'll use it in the proclamation of the gospel. Now, I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who've opened their heart to you. Thank you for all who worship with us from beds of sickness and are shut-ins. And they can't get out, and they maybe never will get out. I don't know. Only you know, and it doesn't matter. You know. And so I pray for them that they will know that you are there with them, that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, and you always keep your word, that underneath are the everlasting arms, and that they're really never all alone. You're always there, and you neither slumber nor sleep, but you're there to help and to protect and guide. And someday at your own appointed time, you'll take us home. Maybe it'll be 70, maybe more, maybe be less, but it'll be your own timing, and that's just fine with us. So bless your people, Lord, and bless all those coming to you, receiving you as their Savior, and we'll give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank all of you for opening up your homes and being with and letting us worship with you. And all over the world, you see, we've all banded together and we've been at the feet of Jesus, at the throne of Jesus in heaven. And we've seen people, I know that many people are praying right now, taking Jesus into their heart. And I know that there are many people who are suffering and discouraged and lonely, and they're taking heart because the Holy Spirit is ministering to them and blessing them. Oh, we thank you for your wonderful love, Heavenly Father, that you love us all, even those in sin. You love them and want them to come, help them to come because you love them. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray you'll be with us now this coming week. May your will be done in our life. And then next week, we'll look forward to all getting together again in Jesus. In his name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.